Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the D. Fauntleroy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode 170 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Dr. Eugene Klinsman up in Rhode Island. Eugene, good evening.
Good evening, Mike. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I have something I have to say to all the listeners out there, Bill. It's important. It's a confession I have to make.
Okay.
I'm going to miss the cooking class for May. It's not happening.
You couldn't make any eggs?
I guess I could have done that. I could have done, what's that? I could have done, like, the All-Star Music Food Court Scrambled Eggs, maybe?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I wonder if I could have found that recipe online.
I don't think you really needed one.
No, just powdered eggs and water.
Yeah.
And boil until burnt to a crisp.
Exactly.
Only the Disney quick service eggs can be runny and dry at the same time. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, I have. I've only had it that one time, but they weren't that great at Pop Century with you. That chicken was good, but the eggs weren't all that great.
Right, but they're like watery, but then when you actually bite into the egg, it's like rubbery and like dry.
Yeah, it's not that great.
I don't understand how they can even manage that physically. But I digress. All the other quick service stuff I don't have a problem with. Just the eggs, they don't cut the mustard for me at the quick service. But that's neither here nor there. What else is new with you in the world, Bill? Anything going on? Fun and exciting?
No, just living the dream, Bill. Just living the dream.
Yeah, me too. The weather's been great up here in Rhode Island.
That's what I've heard. Susie came back and said it was fantastic. She wants to move back.
Miserable weather.
Mm-hmm.
How was her? Did she enjoy her time, though?
Yeah, she did. She had a good time.
Spending time with family. Yeah. The weather can kind of take a back seat when you're spending time with the family.
However, she did go to Block Island.
Yeah?
Yeah, and she said that it was pretty damn cold on the ferry.
I'm sure. It feels cold on the ferry, even when it's really warm, you can feel pretty cold on that. So when it's a little chilly, I imagine it was not a pleasant ride. Yeah, I haven't been to Block Island in a couple years. I like it up there. Have you ever been up there?
No, I've never been.
No. I don't know if you would like it. Because it can be really crowded and touristy, but sometimes you like crowds of people. Like, I don't know if you'd get into it, because it's like kind of like a lot of good people watching.
Yeah.
Or if you would hate it, because it's crowded.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be on my list of things to do at this point.
It's not on your bucket list.
I got too much stuff down here.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying you're going to make a trip to go to Block Island. I just meant I didn't know if you would enjoy it if you happened to be in Rhode Island for an extended period.
And did you see the pictures I took from the pool the other day?
Yeah.
Didn't it look nice? Dead.
Yeah, no one at the pool, huh?
Nice. I mean, no clouds in the sky, just gorgeous.
That was option number two, wasn't it?
Yeah, I went to the one because it's got a bigger pool with more amenities. But I did the drive-by and just shook my head. I said, to hell with this. I'm out of here. Verbatim, too. That's exactly what I said.
Very good.
I mean, I could have went option B, or then option C was just to go back to studio and take a nap with Fenway, which is always a good option.
That's nothing wrong with that option.
No.
Crank the AC, take a nap.
Have the AC, put on the Paul Feinbaum show.
Fall asleep.
Yeah, take a good little nap.
That's a nice plan. So I have to say something here about the weather. We're talking about the Rhode Island weather, and I heard someone say that they were told that out of the 20, on Friday the 26th, that 13 out of 26 days had rained in May in Rhode Island. And then I know it rained on Monday and Wednesday, and even a little bit Sunday. So that's like 15 out of the 31 days of May, it rained.
That's not fun. No, that's pretty miserable.
That's not a fun spring. And it's affected people. I'm like, you know how like when you were in the winter in Minnesota, you'd get like the seasonal affective disorder?
Mm-hmm.
But that was like in February. I'm getting it in May because I'm just itching for the nice weather and it's not coming.
That's awful.
Keep looking at the extended forecast and like...
You're not seeing it.
It's showing tomorrow like a high of 74 and I'm all excited. Usually like June 1st in the mid-70s is normal, but I'm like pumped for it. It's like, yeah, it's finally going to be nice.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's not a good thing. So besides going to the pool, did you do anything else this weekend when you were a bachelor?
No, actually I didn't.
I didn't.
I just kind of vegged out. I had a good phone conversation with one of my friend's coworkers from the Oaks who moved to Michigan last year. He's like my best friend, my golfing buddy.
Yeah.
And he's a young kid. He's like 22 years old. He texts me. He's like, hey, he goes, give me a call. He goes, I haven't talked to you like in over a year. Like a 22-year-old who actually doesn't want to text and wants to talk.
Yeah, that's funny.
I gave him a call. He's just one of the most mature kids I've ever met. Good, hard worker. He's got his stuff going on. Graduated from college. Has a good job. So it was good catching up with him.
Yeah.
Sad thing is I think I'm his mom's age. That's kind of weird. Like my golfing buddy could have been my son.
Yeah. Is he miserable back in Minnesota?
No, he's in Michigan. No, he actually doesn't like the heat. Like really? Yeah, we'd play like 15 holes and he'd have to go in and we'd be in a golf cart. I'm like, you're 22 years old, man.
Yeah.
He's like, I just can't do this. He hated the heat, but he said his first winter back was terrible. He said like the fishing's not as good as it is in Florida, and he said it's just gray all the time. Like, yeah, I couldn't do it, but
it's the going back. Like, if you never left, it's you don't really know what you're missing too much. But the fact that you were in Florida and then going back must be tough.
Yeah, I would think so.
Like, por favor, Mary.
She have a tough time this winter?
I don't know, because the winter wasn't too bad, but we haven't had summer yet. And now she's, like, here and it's still miserable. But she likes being near family, so mm-hmm. I think she's not too torn up about it. But I don't know. That would be tough. That would definitely be tough going back.
Yeah, I'll never do another winter. That's for damn sure. And the funny thing is I actually don't mind it. Like, I kind of look forward to it sometimes because I love college football and I love college basketball.
Right. And so you like stuff going on in the winter. You just don't want to have to deal with the snow and the cold.
Yes. So, like, now, like, I can watch, like, Big Monday and I got the windows open. That's kind of cool.
Right. So you're still experiencing the nice parts.
Yeah, like the holidays.
And we can wear shorts.
Yeah, and I can wear shorts. T-shirt. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
That is nice. Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week?
I've been waiting, yeah. I'm like sitting on both of my hands right now waiting for this one.
So this one, I'm going back to my roots. And I just have the famous Narragansett Lager. Just a regular Narragansett. One of my favorite beers. It's my Bud Light. You know,
it's your Bud Light, huh?
This is my Bud Light, Narragansett.
It's your go-to.
Yeah, definitely. So I felt like cracking one of those open tonight. So that's the unofficial beer sponsor of the week. Just a Narragansett Lager. Made on honor, sold on merit. That's all I have for this segment. Unless, would you like me to get into my Storyland trip review, or should we save that for after the break?
You know what? It's up to you. What do you want to do? We're at 8.5 right now.
Yeah, I'll touch on it after the break. It'll be quick.
All right, so we're going to have a short first segment. We'll go to break, and then we'll come back.
The meat of the episode.
Beautiful.
That's my beer.
That's my beer.
That's my beer.
That's my beer.
Narragansett, that's my beer.
That's my beer.
That's my beer.
That's my beer.
Made right here. Narragansett, that's my beer. That's my beer.
That's my beer.
Memories are written at Storyland, where every chapter begins with a smile and every story ends happily ever after. Discover our newest ride, Splash Battle Pharaoh's Reign. It's a water cannon splash blast for the whole family. Buy online and save time at Storyland, where fantasy lives.
Where fantasy lives.
Storyland. Visit StorylandNH.com.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 170, and you want to kind of touch about Storyland?
Yeah, so on Memorial Day weekend, we spent the weekend up in New Hampshire, which was nice. And on Saturday, the 27th, we went to Storyland. It was their opening day for the year. And we got there right when it was opening up, right at 9:30 they opened. And the lines were long. There were a lot of people there, but when you pay online, so we bought our passes online, so you just get to, like, go through the line, they just scan it, and you go right in. So it was a long line, but it didn't take that long to get through the gates. And we went in, and it was a little crowded, but not too bad. And then I decided to take Georgina on her first roller coaster. So they have one there called the Polar Coaster, and it's like ice themed, and you ride on a walrus and there's penguins and stuff. So we get in line for that, we go on it, we get in, she's all excited about it, sitting next to me, and we go through the first couple turns, it's not too fast, she's enjoying it, starts picking up speed near the end. I look over at her and she's got tears in her eyes.
Oh no.
But I think it was just from the speed, because she wasn't crying, but she like had like that blank stare of fear. And then as soon as it stopped, I said, "Oh, did you like that?" She said, "No." I said, "Why?" I said, "Was it scary?" She said, "It went too fast." So she wasn't a big fan of the roller coaster. So after we got off, she wanted my wife to hold her. So my wife's holding her for a few minutes. And there were a couple other rides that she would have liked. And she didn't want to do anything.
She wasn't ready, huh?
For about a half hour after, she didn't want to do anything. So we just walked around and went in a couple gift shops. And then by a little after that, we went to a show. Like it's called Farm Follies. And it has all these animatronics and of vegetables. It kind of reminds me of a little bit like Kitchen Cabaret from old school Epcot, if you remember that show.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit like that, where the vegetables sing and dance, and they talk about how, you know, you plant a seed and then you need to water it and the rain and the sun and it grows and everything like that. And it talks about weeds and pests and everything. It's kind of a cute little show, and she liked that. About 15 minutes, she sat through the whole thing. Went on a little tractor ride after that. So she was back in good spirits at that point. And then we tried to get lunch. And this is my big point of contention with Storyland. And it really shows the difference in places like that as opposed to Disney. And I know it's not really fair to compare, you know, Storyland to Disney World. But we wait in line. Half the food places aren't even open in Storyland on their opening weekend. You'd think they'd have everything going. Get in line for this like little grilled cheese stand. And the line's moving super slow. But I'm already committed, so I'm in line. I finally order our sandwiches. I pay for it. And then they make you wait in another line to pick it up. And they have your number. There's a number on the receipt, like any place would have. You know, number 400, whatever it is. But instead of putting together full orders of the food, this guy, this, like, high school kid's just like, "I got a kid's grilled cheese." And then people are just, like, grabbing it. It was, like, mass chaos. So just putting out one sandwich at a time, and people are like, "Well, I was next. This is mine. I have four of the sandwiches. Where's my other stuff?" And people are like yelling at the kid.
Wow, that's horrible. That's a terrible way to do business.
It's awful. And I'm like, finally, like, two managers came over, and they didn't really help too much, except that they like took over and they were trying to help. They're asking people like, "All right, who's next?" And they're grabbing like the stuff for those people. And I'm sitting there shaking my head, and then everyone's getting cranky at that point. You know, I haven't eaten. Georgina hasn't eaten. Sarah hasn't eaten. We're all kind of on edge. And then Georgina Jr. decides it's time that she needs to eat. So then I have Georgina with me. Sarah has to take her to feed her. Everything's going bad. Finally, I just get up to the front and I like kind of like, "I just need my money back. I can't wait anymore." So they credited the credit card. They put the money back on. And we ended up leaving not too long after that and going to a restaurant right off of property. And
right off of property, huh?
Off property, yeah.
Oh.
Outside of the park, and had a good experience at that restaurant. It was pretty good. A little diner, but it was good. And yeah, so we didn't get a whole lot accomplished. I felt like I spent the majority of the day waiting for grilled cheese sandwiches that never came, and that was a little disappointing that they had that whole situation going on. To like, seem understaffed and unprepared for their opening weekend. And then, not to mention, if you're getting a season pass, which we ended up buying because we got it on sale on Black Friday, you have to wait in line to get your picture taken for the pass. So they're telling you, "Oh, make sure you get your pass before you leave for the day." And that line was like 60 people deep all day. We kept looking at it. So we were getting ready to leave, and I'm standing in this line. It's not moving. I'm at the end of the line. Finally, people come around and they're saying, "Well, if you don't want to wait, you could just bring back your paper pass next time." And I was like, "Whoop, we're out the door." As soon as they said that, we left to get our lunch. But other than the understaffed issues, which was definitely a pain, it was still fun. Georgina had fun. There was some little rides that she did. She played in a couple sandboxes, things like that. So we're planning on going back 4th of July weekend. So hopefully they
give it another try.
Stuff in order by then. Yeah, I mean, we paid for the pass, so we're not going to give up on it after that, but maybe we'll pack food, because they let you bring in outside food. So
yeah, you might need to take some video. We might have to do maybe a bigger review this time.
Yeah, I didn't really have the audio-visual equipment with me,
What'd you give the guys a weekend off for the long weekend?
Yeah, I gave them the weekend off.
That's nice.
Yeah. So other than that, it was fine, I guess. And but the weekend overall was good. We went for a hike. We went to the playground. We went swimming. So all good kind of stuff. Family had fun. It was a good weekend.
Now, did you guys cook breakfast? This would have been the perfect opportunity for you. You could have made breakfast in the condo and pass it off.
I thought about that, and I didn't do it, but we ended up just getting, like, pastries and stuff for breakfast.
Again, you could have just said that it was from the Pop Century food court.
Yeah, that's true.
Little apple Danish. I mean, it doesn't have to be difficult, Bill. Use your imagination for crying out loud.
I guess that's true. I could have done that. So to segue into our full topic for this week, on the ride home from New Hampshire, we were sitting in a little bit of traffic, and we went by a Powerball sign and showed the jackpot over $300 million. And I said to my wife, I said, oh, that'd be nice. And she's like, yeah, that would certainly help. And I said, if we won that, I would get a house in Golden Oaks. And she said, oh, what's that? And I said, oh, you were in for a treat. So I'm looking it up on my phone about the Golden Oaks and the luxury living on Disney property, these like mansions that you can buy. And I'm telling her like all the different ones. And then I said, you know, this would be a pretty good topic for the podcast to go through some of the available houses at the Golden Oaks. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're a huge real estate junkie.
I love real estate. I could do it every weekend is just go look at models. I love houses.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if they would let riffraff like you and I into these models. Like, I don't think they have just, like, open house. You probably have to be pre-qualified to even go through and check these things out.
I doubt it. Nobody knows what our financial situation is. Online
brochures that we can go through for this. Now, I just sent this to you not too long ago. Did you get a chance to peek at any of this yet?
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the houses.
So which ones are you looking at? The move-in ready ones?
Yeah, I'm looking at the move-in ready ones.
So we can go through some of these here. And it looks like as far as move-in ready, there's 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. There's about 6 of them, and then there's ones under construction, and then you can kind of customize your own. So we'll just go through some of these move-in ready. And they go by price, low to high. So the low-priced one is called Alhambra. It's in the Marceline neighborhood, and it's listed at $2,090,000.
Mm-hmm.
So That's pretty low end, you know.
Obviously. I mean, just looking at it, I mean, this is...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said just looking at it, it's certainly not going to work for Fenway and Susie and I.
No, it's too small?
Yeah, it's definitely not going to work.
Yeah, I figured as much. So the highlights of this are that it's 3,398 square feet of indoor living area.
Yeah.
4 bedrooms, each with an ensuite bathroom. Plus 2 powder rooms.
Now, would those be? Could we call those mud rooms?
I'm sorry.
Could we call those mud rooms?
Two mud rooms. We have an outdoor living area with a fireplace, a summer kitchen, a pool, and a spa. That sounds nice. That sounds like that's perfect for Florida. The outdoor living.
Exactly.
There's a breakfast room. I don't even know what that is. That's like too fancy for me to even know what that is. A second story multi-purpose room. Again, I don't know what that means. And then a 2-car garage. So there's a towering great room, the outdoor living, gourmet kitchen, summer kitchen that connects through a walk-through pantry. So that's pretty nice. Imagine that. You're in your gourmet kitchen looking in the pantry, and then you can just walk right out to your outdoor kitchen.
That's nice.
Throw some steaks on the grill.
That's nice.
So all that for just a hair over $2 million can be yours. Now, did you look at some of these pictures, Bill?
How do you get to look at them? Oh, the photo gallery?
Yeah. Like, the bathroom looks very nice. I could get used to a bathroom like that.
Oh, with that fancy bathtub?
The fancy tub. Yeah. I'm sure there's some jets in there, a nice shower and everything.
Oh, look at that pool.
The pool has, like, its own little pool room, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, that's got the spa. See the separate spa, too?
Yes, the little hot tub in there. In the pool. The great room. There's little touches, little Disney touches and all the works, like hidden Mickeys and things like that. 2-car garages. It's gorgeous. I mean, obviously.
Looking at the pictures now, I think it would work maybe like as like a little weekend getaway, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to move everything in, but just as a getaway, certainly. Now, the nice thing with these move-in ready ones have actual pictures of the house. But I did notice if you go to, if we skip ahead here, and you go to the under construction ones, there's actually floor plans included. So let's get a comparable a floor plan for this. If you skip ahead to Capri.
Yeah, the Capri.
Which is this one's listed for $2,019,245. This one's 3,047 square feet of indoor living, four bedrooms, including a detached guest suite, each with ensuite bathrooms and one powder room or mud room.
It's called mud room, and then the other thing is a mother-in-law apartment.
Mother-in-law apartment, correct. Okay.
Let's get the terminology down correctly, Jürgen.
Again, there's outdoor living area with summer kitchen, pool, and spa, and then a two-car garage. But with this one, you can click on this floor plan, Bill. And it gives you a bigger a look into what's going on here at this Capri. Do you have that open yet?
Yeah.
So the owner's suite is 15 by 18. And then the bathroom and the walk-in closet is pretty much the same size, if not bigger, than the suite itself. And that owner's suite being on the first floor is really nice because it goes out right into the outdoor living area, right from the bedroom to the pool and spa. I love the guest suite, the mother-in-law, as you call
it. That's beautiful. Get that thing out as far away from the house as possible.
That's where I would stay when you get this one.
Yes.
Get it away. The summer kitchen in between, so I can be out there cooking steaks. You'll look out your dining room, see me out there. You come out and have a beer with me or something.
You know what else I like? When you go with something like this, you have to have the big grand foyer.
Right.
Because you and I can't belittle ourselves and answer our own doors. So, like, you know, somebody would come and say, like, yeah, I'm here to see Mr. Arruda. And, like, mm-hmm. You're in the office or in the studio. And they'd be like, oh, just a second. They got to make them wait for 15 minutes because it makes it look like you're really important, you know. Oh, let me finish my Gansett and then I'll buzz them in, okay?
But look at that. So there's a foyer or foyer. It depends on how fancy. I guess in a house like this,
it's called a foyer, right? Yeah, it's a foyer, yeah.
And then the great room. Right there, which probably has giant vaulted ceilings.
And you know you got to have, like, all the flat screen and then all the built-in bookcases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't have a $25 DVD Walmart case.
No, you know what you probably do in a place like that? You get one of those TVs that spins. So, mm-hmm. like, when you're not using it, it turns around and it looks like a bookcase. And when you turn it on, like, all the things spin and it turns into your media room.
What if it's got one of those secret rooms too, where you press the button, like the place where it might have like your wine cellar and
that would be nice. Where
you can have your illegal card games.
It's not on the floor plan, but why would it be on there? You wouldn't want to spoil that.
No,
but if you look at the picture, the sketch of the house itself, it actually looks somewhat modest from the outside. Like, you go into that foyer, but that grand room, see how it looks like a second story up there?
Mm-hmm.
It's only a one-story house, so that's just the ceiling. That's the grand room, so that must feel huge.
Oh, wow, with the windows looking out, that's gorgeous. Yeah,
exactly.
And actually, 3,000 square feet isn't a ton. It's a lot bigger than I would ever need, but 3,000 isn't a ton of square feet.
But that also includes the guest suite, so the actual house itself is 2,700, which is still big, like you said, but it's not, you know, it's not obnoxiously big, because the guest suite's 335 square feet. But then it shows a living area where there's a 556 square foot two car garage, 100 square foot covered entry, 221 feet of outdoor living, and then 179 foot breezeway, which sounds very nice. I don't even know what a breezeway would be considered, but. A lot of nice things in that, obviously.
Breezeway, we used to call them like those houses in East Providence where our parents grew up. They'd have like a breezeway.
Okay, so that's beautiful.
It's kind of like a little screened-in entrance in the front, like where they would have like lawn chairs.
Oh, all right, that makes sense.
I'm sure that's not what they have at Golden Oak, but in East Providence and Pawtucket, that's what they had.
Yeah. So this is great. So each bedroom has its own bathroom. Each bedroom has its own walk-in closet, and then there's a powder room, so when you have guests, they don't have to go through the bedroom to get to the bathroom.
Right.
A nice pantry, a beautiful kitchen, a nice dining room, and a guest suite with a pool and a spa, just for $2 million.
Now, suite for 335 square feet. That's a big guest room.
That's bigger than most of the hotels at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously you can move up. Do you want to look what one of the higher end ones would look like?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not set. Like I said, I'm not going to settle.
So let's see what we have here. So the highest under construction is called the Monterey, and this is in the Kingswell neighborhood. $3.875 million. That's big. 6,415 square feet, six bedrooms with six ensuite bathrooms, including a pool guest suite, outdoor living area with summer kitchen and fireplace, a handsome study, a pool and spa, an elevator.
You got to have an elevator, Bill, especially as we start getting older and the arthritis is settling
well,
in.
Well, I mean, if your house is 6,400 square feet, you might need moving sidewalks, too, because it's got to be tough getting around that thing.
You know, that would be like if you did hit the lottery, that would be a staple, wouldn't it? Having a frickin' elevator in your house.
Yeah. Honey, can you come upstairs? Sure, I just need to take the elevator.
Like, especially if it goes right into, like, the master. Like, your wife's in bed reading, you just hear the ding, the door.
This one has a three-car garage and a water view. And then, what's this say? So, overlooking a European-style courtyard, the central wine hall gently draws you into the open great room and outdoor living area. Elegant owner's suite opens to patio and pool for evenings under the stars with water views beyond. Expected completion, winter 2018. So, I have time to save up for this one.
Yeah, you got some time. Now, let me ask you a question.
Holy crap, this thing. Look at this floor plan, Bill. Are you looking at this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Optional elevator. Like, you're not going to go for the elevator at that point.
Would you bring somebody on staff, though, to work the elevator?
Oh, have butlers in there?
Yeah. Like, you can only go up and down. So, like, you get up, you're going to go make your cup of coffee. Oh, good morning, right. Javier. Could you take me down to the kitchen? Certainly, Mr. Aruda.
Yeah, there's only one button. Up, down, that's it. It is ridiculous. The funny thing is, if you have the elevator in there, now you have like a mechanical storage room. So you have to have like a whole storage room for it. The guest suite, study, pool guest suite.
It would be like so industrial too. Like you'd have like your fire extinguishers all over the place.
Yeah, because you'd have to be up to code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing to get your heart started, you probably got to have one of those in there too.
So here's the total living area. On the first floor, 4,881 square feet. The second floor is 1,436. So just the second floor of this thing is like a nice-sized home, 1,400 square feet.
Yeah.
The optional elevator adds 98 square feet. Then the outdoor living area, 164 square feet for the upper balcony. Outdoor living, 833 square feet of outdoor living. That's big.
That's good stuff right there, Jason.
The entries, 142. The master porch, 235. Three-car garage, 1,100 square feet. An entry porch, 124. Mm-hmm. The back entry, 27 square feet. And the mechanical storage closet, 219. That brings the total square footage of this place to 9,275 square feet. It's ridiculous. That's almost too much.
Yes.
Like, six bedrooms. I guess if it was the four of us, we could each have, like, a second bedroom just to hang out in.
That's what we should do. We should just all pool our money together and just buy one of these, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we'd need more than just pooling our money. Who else is going to be in on this?
We got to get a couple investors, Bill. We got to put together a business plan and sell the hell out of this to a couple of big daddies. With some
that MyPillow guy. MyPillow.
Let me Mike Lindell. I watched him. He was on QVC the other day. I watched him. That might have been what I did on Memorial Day weekend. I watched the half hour Mike Lindell. Manufactured in my home state of Minnesota.
Yeah, these things are ridiculous. Let's look at some of these other ones that are already constructed. We'll go to one of those high end instead of under construction. Now, what do you think of the style of these? These are kind of like, I don't know, is that like, that doesn't seem like Florida style. It looks more like European.
Yeah.
What do you think of the style of these? Does this fit in Florida, or are they more like a European style?
It's kind of got like a European, but also a Southwest feel, I think.
Oh, okay.
A lot of housing in Florida has that Southwest.
Okay, that makes sense.
With the tiled roofing and...
Right, that's kind of what I'm thinking about, the tiled roof. So I'm moving ahead here. There's one, this is a previously owned house that's for sale in Golden Oak. It's called Custom Carrera. This is, again, the Marceline neighborhood. $2.25 million. Are you on this one now, Bill?
Yep.
All right. This one has 3,957 square feet of living space, 4 bedrooms, 4 ensuite bathrooms, 2 powder baths, glistening travertine floors, not sure what that means, chef's kitchen featuring Sub-Zero and Wolf appliances, those are probably expensive, outdoor living area, summer kitchen, pool and spa, guest suite detached for privacy, 2-car garage and water views. So this one, you know, for $200,000 more than that first one we talked about, seems like it's a big step up. I mean, $200,000 is a lot, but when you're over $2 million, $200,000 is not that much more.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at some of the photos on this one, I love the way the garage is detached, and I think that guest suite might even be above the
garage.
That's
where the guest suite is, absolutely.
That's great. I love that. The bathroom's ridiculous.
Bathroom's gorgeous.
The master suite.
Now, let me ask you a question, because me and Susie, we look at houses all the time. What do you think of the mirror by the bathtub?
By the like across from it, you
see,
mean?
See the bathtub? See the tub?
Yeah.
See the window?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Having the window there?
Yeah.
You just put up curtains, I guess.
Because we like to have as much natural light. It's, and that's I one of the things, when we look at bathrooms in
right.
these newer houses, we like to have just to bring in some natural light. And a lot of them will have like
if it's on the second floor or not.
But a lot of them will have like the, you know, like the below where you can't see in, and then the up above that just so it just brings in all natural light.
Right, that makes sense. It looks like a lot of the living area is on the second floor in this house, which is nice.
Now I don't like that. I don't like
look
that.
Look at this.
I don't like that picture. It looks like the living room. That kind of looks like a. It's got like a cabin look. It's got the hardwood floor. Do you see it with the ceiling fan? It's got the.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a bedroom though.
Is that, yeah, I don't like that wood, that wooding up on the ceiling.
Oh, see, I like that, the exposed beams. I like
yeah,
that.
It feels a little too north for me.
How about the next one, though, with the exposed beams that goes out into the pool?
That's going to work for me.
That works? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
See that kitchen? That's the lights we have. Those lights are awesome over the island. We have those same lights.
Yeah. Those are nice. That's a nice big island, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a beautiful island.
That's like Rhode Island. It's so big.
One thing I do see, though, it's got double sinks. Those are definitely a no-no now when you're buying something new.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you want the one big sink.
One big sink. Okay, I didn't know that. See, you're more on top of it.
Well, because here's the thing. Like Susie said, not many people do the rinsing and then the washing.
Right, that's true.
So you just...
It does have the double oven, which is nice.
Double oven with the convection. That's definitely something when you're buying new.
Oh, man, that kitchen is... beautiful. I love how big that grand room is, too. You look at that picture with the staircases going up.
Yep.
I just don't like how it's so white. It looks too, like, sterile with the white marble floors. Like, a little too modern, maybe, for me.
Yeah.
My style.
Yep.
But I'm not complaining too much. It's really nice. Now, there is a video tour of this house. If you click visual tour, it does have some audio, so you might want to
that pool's
click
gorgeous.
That down. Can you imagine what... walking through. Oh, did you see that? Are you watching the video tour?
No.
If you go to the video tour, about the first 10 seconds, it shows, like, going out to the pool, like, all the windows come up. So, basically, it's, like, open air, great room out to the pool. You gotta check that out.
Oh, you're talking about the glass sliding door?
Yeah, they go up, though.
Oh, they go up, okay. Because the ones that we're looking at, you can get the, they call them pocket doors.
Oh, okay.
And they're three doors, but they open right. all the way to the outside. Yeah, that's how that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this house is unbelievable. These houses are ridiculously... I mean, obviously, for what you're paying, anywhere you're going to spend $2 million on a house, you're going to get some fine amenities and the luxury. But these things are ridiculous. I could get used to living in something like that. I don't know about you, Bill.
Yeah, but something on the smaller scale, though. I still like an intimate feel to my house. And, like, when you're talking 6,000 square feet, that's way, way, way too much. I just think some of them are too big. I joke around about wanting a big house, but 7,000 square feet's a little too much.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's definitely too much. But you could... I'm looking at some of these, like, these visual tours. Now, the next one I looked at, the Lucia, the visual tour for that. One of the spots at the end, it shows a fireplace inside with the TV above it opening out to the pool and spa. Like, that's perfection. If you zoom ahead to 30 seconds in that video, Bill.
Nice kitchen.
Like, you could live... I mean, that's something you just spend all day. The only problem with these
is that if you...
You like that?
Yes.
Going out to the pool? I just don't know how you would spend any time... I mean, this is on Disney property, so that's like one of the selling points. But if I had this house, I would just stay there all day.
There's a new neighborhood that's near our house, and they have one a little further south near my cousin. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those, it's got everything. It's got, you know, the pools, the spas, the restaurant, and they have the lanai, and it's like our dream lanai. So I asked the guy, I said, how much is this as is? And right away, well, you got to understand there's a lot of upgrades, blah, blah. I said, as is. He's like, $525. I'm like, well, that's, you know, obviously way more than I could spend. I said,
right.
I said, you got to understand. He said, that's a $150,000 lanai. But it was the same thing. It had the pool. It had the, you know, it had the screen in lanai, but then it had like the half ceiling. Mm-hmm. So like it had a fireplace, a TV, a bar, with like a counter where you can sit with a grill and refrigerator. And I'm like, could you imagine, Susie, like at Christmas, like lighting a fire and watching a Christmas movie out on your lanai by your pool? I mean, that's a selling point to me. Like, I love houses, but what you were describing with that fireplace and the TV and the pool, that's all you need, isn't it?
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, there's just so many... Obviously, you can go nuts. I mean, there's $4 million houses at this place. And how much house do you need? I guess if you hit Powerball, you can do whatever you want. But it's insane, some of these things. I would love just to do, like, walk through an open house at one of these. Wouldn't that be the coolest thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, like I said earlier, they just don't allow everyone because they'd have lines out the door of people just wanting to walk through, I imagine.
I'm going to have to check it out because if they have models...
I don't know. I wonder if you have to get, like, pre...
I don't think so.
Credit check with a real estate agent to like actually go into them or by appointment only or something, you know?
I think looking at like high-end stuff like in by the water and stuff maybe, but I think like new communities where they have models where you can just walk through, I don't think...
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't think it's an issue.
I know it's gated and you can't just like drive around to look at the houses. Like you have to be let in. So it's not like you could just, before you head over to you know, Captain's Grill for lunch, you're just going to take a spin around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
They wouldn't allow that. I don't know. It's definitely something to dream about, that Powerball thing, but I don't know. Would that be something, like, if you hit on Powerball, if you had unlimited money, would that be something you would spend on, like, a house like that at Disney? Or is there, like you said, are they just too big for you, like, realistically?
No, I'd do something. I know, I'd do something like that.
Because that's what I was thinking. Like, I wouldn't spend money on cars or any of that kind of stuff. I'd buy a couple houses. Nice, like... Obviously, something like that, $2 million house.
The thing is like, I don't think you can ever grasp what, like, $300 million is. Like, you say you wouldn't get a car, but, like...
No, I wouldn't. I'm not going to be the kind of guy that goes out and buys, like, seven, you know, convertibles or whatever.
But, like,
I might buy a nice car, but I'm not going to...
In your financial situation right now, say a Lamborghini actually cost a nickel.
Right.
Would you spend a nickel to get a Lamborghini?
Yeah, but I wouldn't spend a quarter to get five of them because I don't care about cars that much.
Right.
I'd rather have a house anywhere I want one.
I'm with you. I'd rather have houses all over the place.
That's what I,
because I love real estate, and it's something that you can end up selling.
Well, that's the thing. If things go bad, you have that to fall back on.
Right.
Yeah. So that's more where I would be. I would rather travel and spend thing on experiences, and then have like houses than have cars. I'm just not a car guy. I'd probably have a nice car or two, but I wouldn't go out and spend money and have like a garage full of
because you're not cars. You're not a collectible, but
right. But I can understand why people would do that, and that there's an appeal to it. And I know what you're saying about how when money doesn't matter, you don't care about it as much. But it's just not something that I would care about.
No, I'm with you. I might have one Lamborghini as opposed to seven, like you said.
Right. Right. I don't know. You have anything else you want to look at in these houses, or do you think we pretty much summed it up here?
You know what, though? Joking aside, the prices aren't that bad. It just goes to show you how inexpensive real estate in Central Florida is.
Well, I mean, for what you're getting and where
for
it
what
is.
You're getting, because that's something like that on the coast is going to be a $5 or $6 million house.
Oh yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, I've driven by houses like this on, like, the Keys.
But I mean, then again, you could get a 3,500 square foot house for probably $400,000 in Central Florida that doesn't have all these amenities, but it still would have the same square footage.
How many square feet?
Like a 3,500 square foot
35
house?
35 is probably going to be about 6, maybe.
Okay. So you're definitely spending more on these amenities and the outdoor living and being at Disney.
Yeah, these are the creme of the creme. I mean, those lanais and those pools, that's a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 pool.
Now, I have to ask, and I wonder, they're not lanais. They're not like...
No, they don't. No, they're open.
I wonder, like, how the wildlife would be, because, I mean, they're, you know, as well as I do, Walt Disney World's built in the middle of a swamp, so I wonder if that's a problem.
I think the from what I understand, it's not about keeping alligators out, because alligators can still get into lanais. It's more about the bugs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what when I first moved here, I said, what's up with the lanais? I said, up north, you know, everybody has open air pools. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's more about the bugs, and they said, and plus people are out here 12 months a year.
That makes sense.
They said in the north they might have a cookout and go for a dip and stuff, but they're not sitting out here late at night and hanging out and having drinks and all that, so.
Right. Yeah, I could definitely get used to living in a house like that. Any of these would be fine. If anyone wants to make me their benefactor, you know what would be a good job? Is like, because for a lot of people, I bet this is their vacation home.
Sure.
It's not like, you know, like going around and just going in and checking the lights, making sure like the water's not running. Like, imagine if that was your job, just going around this neighborhood. You had the keys to all these different houses.
I'm sure people do have that.
Just checking up on them.
We're going up north for 2 weeks. You want to take care of the dog, and oh, by the way, you can stay here. And I bet there's people who do that, especially like, say you got to run up north for a week or two. Can you take care of my dog? And oh, by the way, you can stay here.
Right. That's what I mean. That would be a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't need the payments. I wouldn't mind just hanging out in them for a little while. Use the pool. Mind if I bring my swimsuit? No, go ahead. Yeah, I don't know. I have nothing else to add. They all look good to me. I take any of them.
They're all nice. I'm going to... You know what? We might have to look into making a trip up there.
Just to see if you can get in and look around?
Yeah.
Yeah, look into it, because I don't know if that's going to be something that you could do. I'd love it if you could, because that would be an incredible thing to talk about. See what you could find out about that.
Yeah, we'll do a follow-up. We'll try to get this done sometime this summer.
You could just lie. Be like, oh, I recently came into some money. I was looking to invest in real estate. I'm working on behalf of a trust, a blind trust.
I don't think it's as hard as you think.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. All right, let's go to our second break here, Bill, because I don't have much else to add.
Right.
I'm drooling over these houses, that's all. I could look at that all day.
Right. As opposed to drooling over the food like we normally do.
Hey, it's different, yeah.
I know.
All right, let's take a break here, Bill.
All right.
At 11 now, Narragansett Beer is back, and now there's a real push to make it in Rhode Island again, too. And as NBC 10's Dan Janig reports, this is not your daddy's beer anymore.
Hi, neighbor, have a Gansett.
You probably remember the jingle.
Beer a chance, it has
and the sound of how it ended.
Hell yeah, man, we gotta bring this thing back.
What was big in black and white, big part of Rhode Island, heck, New England, making a big comeback in full color. Same recipe. Hey, neighbor, we're talking Narragansett beer.
It's almost like bringing Uncle Frank to the party, and it's like, hey, Frank, where you been? And it's like, we missed you.
Mark Hellendrung is passionate about the Gansett. The East Providence native bought it 6 years ago.
It's really New Englanders brand.
Now sold in all New England states and beyond, and some new additions, too.
Hard to imagine, but with the great history of Narragansett beer, that's how beer used to get to the bars and package stores, horse-drawn wagons.
He appreciates the history and the day it became history in Cranston.
When they shut that brewery down in 83 and when they canceled the Red Sox, I mean, that was like a punch to the gut to a lot of these guys.
But now a new push to bring it back.
The soul of this beer is the soul of this beer.
You may have seen the bumper stickers or the online buzz. If not, here it goes.
Drink your part, you buy a case, we'll build a brewery. Every case is a brick in the brewery.
A campaign to build a brewery in Rhode Island, summer 2012. Currently it's brewed elsewhere, bringing back the glory days.
Have a place where people can come experience the process, taste our different beers all in one place, and maybe buy a t-shirt or a hat.
What's old is new again, and through a dream possibly built again, too. Thanks to you, neighbor.
My neighbor, have a Gansett.
The key to that is just having enough bars carrying Narragansett, enough people drinking Narragansett, and...
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 170 of the Portfolio Podcast. We talked about
NBC 10 News.
Golden Corral. No, we didn't talk about Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. That's about as far away from...
I don't think these people frequent Golden Corral.
Probably even I wouldn't frequent Golden Corral.
Oh my god, we watched. There was a commercial last night, and they're doing like brunch and breakfast and stuff, and they show like this lady smashing her face in mashed potatoes with gravy. You can have eggs and omelets and even mashed potatoes with gravy. We have 170 items. Kristen goes, you know when the commercials make it look gross, that it's really bad.
Yeah, if it doesn't even look good in the commercials. Because, like, at least the CC's Pizza Buffet looks okay in the commercials.
Well, Ponderosa used to make their steaks look like Capital Grill.
Right. We used to go to Ponderosa all the time.
Oh, the one over in Cranston. I used to go there with my grandparents. Yeah, I used to go. I like Ponderosa.
Yeah, it was good, but we never got steaks. We just all did the buffet. We didn't even get steaks. It was just everyone got the buffet. And then my dad would make me stand by the back so I could get in for, like, the under 8. I was, like, 14. Had a goatee. He's like, stand in the back. You're going to get paid for a kid. Like, 3 kids and 2 adults for the buffet.
See, that's the thing. That was... He can do the Golden Oaks now because he saved all that money at Ponderosa.
That's true.
That's how you do it. You save a nickel here, a dime here. You put it in an investment account and boom, you got that $7,000 square foot house.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a key.
That's true. Very true. I wonder, like, I think about that with these houses. Like, I know what my mortgage payment is, and it's a good amount of money. But for, like, a $3 million house, if you put down 20%, you're still financing, like, $2.5 million.
Yeah, 2.7, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. That's a big payment. That's, like, more than I make in a year per month for the house payment. Well, not quite.
I gotta wonder if a lot of these are cash buyers.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not financing it. I'm sure they're putting down 50% more, probably, maybe cash, like you said. I've also heard that a lot of corporate people buy, like, corporations buy the houses, and they send people there for weeks at a time. So it's, like, furnished, set up as, like, a vacation house for, you know, send business, good clients, things like that. Which would be a great thing for Por Favor Industries to invest in.
Yeah, it's something that we might want to start having our finance guys look into.
Yeah, you know, wine and dine the investors. Oh, why don't you go ahead and spend a week down at the Marceline neighborhood? It's on Por Favor. You know, think about advertising with us. We appreciate your business.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way instead of doing a suite at the Orlando Magic,
right?
We can just have them go spend a week at the house.
Yeah, exactly. Now I just got to find out which corporations own it and work my way up into those.
start looking for a job there.
Yeah, and then maybe get lucky enough to have a week.
Hey, honey, I just won an incentive award. We're going down to Golden Oaks.
Oh, man, can you imagine?
Mm.
That would be great. I got nothing else. I know we've had some Skype issues.
So please be patient with my editing, because this is going to be an editing nightmare.
Yeah, so hopefully, I'm sure it'll be seamless, and maybe people wouldn't even notice, but I don't even know how long this has been, because we've had some delays here.
It's been just under an hour, but we have... We did kind of, what did we break up, like 2 or 3 times at least?
At least, yeah.
I had to call you back. But in closing, I think this is a good niche for Disney because I think this is a great product. High-end luxury homes on property.
Right, it's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Now, I wonder if they're like thinking about like middle end.
I'm sure, middle
of the road.
You certainly wouldn't start with lower end, so that could be the next project that they... They've right, got all of a so sudden much land, and they're not going to put up 7 amusement parks.
No, and they're not going to put 55 hotels, although they probably could bang out as many hotels as they put on property at this point. But imagine if there was like a $500,000 house, mm-hmm. like neighborhood with those size houses right on Disney property.
When you look at hotels, like, yeah, they usually reach max for the most part. I'd guess they're 95% max on most days, 90 right. to 95. So even, I mean, what do they need? Maybe 2 or 3 or 5 more hotels?
But they're adding on to the current ones.
Right, and they're adding on to the current ones.
They're adding on to Caribbean Beach.
So it's not like they need 10.
Right.
And they're not going to build golf courses, because if anything, they've been shutting them down because that doesn't make money for them.
Right.
So this
what they're going to do, instead of the houses, though, they're just going to build more DVCs, because that's where they must make a ton of money off that, because they just keep adding those things everywhere.
Yeah, they do.
So just every resort's going to have a DVC section in the future. Instead mm-hmm. of adding on residential, they're just going to keep going that way. Because there's no real cap on the amount of those you could sell. You put in 100 DVC rooms, how many memberships can you sell? 2,000? I don't know how the math works out, but
yeah,
it sounds
right.
like it's good math for Disney, yep. you know? Obviously, it's a huge moneymaker, because that's the one thing they keep building nonstop is those DVC rooms. And like you said, the hotels are banged out, because when we're going down in November, we couldn't find any hotels to stay in. It was none of the moderates were open. Even Pop Century was booked. So I won't spoil the big surprise of where we're staying yet. That could be a future episode we'll talk about. But it was tough to find a room, put it that way. All right, bring us home, Bill.
You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Por Favor Podcast. Our website is www.porfavorpodcast.com. You can email the show, info@porfavorpodcast. You can email me personally, Mike at Por Favor Podcast. My Twitter handle is @PorFavorMike. You can also listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Yeah, I think so.
I never
really confirmed that. Okay. I know it was a thing, but I never actually searched for it on there. YouTube. Did you say YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube channel, Por Favor Podcast.
So I think that's about it. You can email me, Gary@PorFavorPodcast.com.
You know what the problem is, too, with all these emails? My email box is always full.
That's true.
Like, I always have to go in and start deleting stuff, moving stuff into folders. Like, every morning there's like 240 new messages.
Yeah. And they kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, that's all I got. That's all you got, Jürgen?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, thanks for listening to episode 170 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcast. From Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, I'm Mike down in Tampa, St. Petersburg. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll be right back.